In the book of Ruth in chapter 2, we're coming down to verse 18 through verse 22 this evening. Verses 18 through 23. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. And she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Heavenly Father, tonight we do ask again your blessings upon the reading of thy holy word. And Father, we pray tonight as we continue through this book and coming through this chapter, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would guide us. Lord, show us truth that we need to know in our Christian life. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is our third message in this chapter. In verses 1, 2, and 3, we see here divine providence. We find that Ruth happened to end up in the field of Boaz. We believe that this was God's leading as we read through this book. In verses 4 through 17, as we looked at last week, we saw in these verses that divine appointment. We see here that Ruth and Boaz met for the first time in the field. And then this evening, we're going to be looking at divine provision. Ruth, we find here, as we closed out the last section of last week, that she is given much more food than she expected for her and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, last week, in considering the divine meeting of Ruth and Boaz, I took you back to Genesis 24, and we considered Isaac's bride, Rebekah, and how all of that came about. We also considered, toward the end of the message, in Acts chapter 8, the story of how that God led Philip to the eunuch, and how that he came to believe and was saved there on his way back home from Jerusalem. Now this evening, we come here again to close this chapter. And what I want to do is that I want to kind of go through these verses. Most of them are very self-explanatory. And then I want to spend the remainder of our time just looking at some verses pertaining to God's provision in our life. Now notice as we come to verse 18, and it says, And she took it up, and what it is referring to reminds you last week, as we come to verse 14 through 17, that she is gleaning in the field of Boaz, and then she has a meal with Boaz in verse 14. And it says in verse 14, And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and she was sufficed, that is, she was satisfied, and then she left. In verse 15, And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Then in verse 16, And let fall also some of the handfuls a purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. In other words, Boaz is saying to his workers, not only leave some grain for gleaning, but purposely leave some for her. So the Bible says in verse 16, it says, verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. In other words, she was carrying home about a bushel load of food. And that was several pounds that she would have been carrying home that day. That would last two people at least 5 weeks to, or 5 days rather, to a week, maybe beyond that. Now it says in verse 18, and she took it up. In other words, she's carrying home what she had picked up this day and worked for. It says, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. In other words, as we come to this passage here, it appears again. Well, let me just go ahead and read the whole verse. It says, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed, that is, satisfied, as in verse 14. So it appears in the passage, she's not only carrying home this probably nearly a bushel load of grain that she had picked up this day, but she's also carrying some leftovers, or what she didn't eat when she had a meal with Boaz. In other words, when we make note of these things, we see her continued love for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Because we found back in verse 10, 11, and 12 that Boaz had commended her. These are the things he heard about of her before that he had ever met her. We find that in verse 11, it says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the day of thine husband, and the death of thy husband, rather, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherfore. Verse 12 said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He had heard in verse 10, 11, and 12 of what she had done. And so now that she's returning from the field in verse 18, and we see her continued love for Naomi. She not only brings what she had worked for, but she also brings, it appears to be, part of the meal that she had sat down and eat that day. Well, in verse 19, you'll notice with me in verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. We find here in this passage that Naomi recognized the unusually large amount of grain that she had brought back. In other words, Naomi recognized before she even said anything to Ruth, or Ruth said anything to her, she recognized that she's got much more than she had had before. And she recognized that somebody has shown favor unto her, not knowing that it is a relative. So Naomi knew something good had happened this day as Ruth had been working. Now, as we read through these passages, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself, because we'll literally talk about the kinsman Redeemer as we get into chapter 3 and into chapter 4. I'll make reference to it here again in just a few moments. But I want you to think about this, that Naomi, her name means pleasant, as we was reading through chapter 1, verse 20, 21, 22. And she basically says, call me Mara, which means bitter or bitterly. And I spoke to you about that, and she's coming back empty. She's coming back. She has lost, her husband, her sons, her inheritance, all these kind of things. And as we get into the latter part of this chapter here, we see a glimmer of hope now for Naomi. And so she is glad. She's joyful that when Ruth comes in, that she sees before anything is spoken that somebody has shown favor unto her. In other words, there's hope now. And I think about some of the verses. I'll give you an example in Romans 15, if you want to just turn there for a moment. In Romans chapter 15, I'm going to give you a couple of other verses also on this, but I'm going to read in Romans 15. Now, I'm going to be reading from about verse 8 through verse 12, and speaking of the word, of the subject of hope, and the word hope is used here. But also in Romans 9, verse 32 and 33, speaking of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That is, they shall not be confused or confounded, but they will have hope. Even in Romans chapter 10, we find in a passage that's dealing truly with how someone is saved and about calling upon the name of the Lord. But it says in verse 11, it says, for the scripture saith that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We see that repeated again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, and it's an expression taken from the Old Testament. Now, there's those who believe, those who put their trust, their confidence, calling upon the name of the Lord, will not be ashamed, confounded, or confused. In other words, they will have hope. Well, notice with me in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, I'm going to read from verse 8. Verse 13 is the verse I'm really after. But notice with me as we read from verse 8. Well, my point is that hope brings peace and joy and confidence and clarity in our life. And now we're starting to see as Naomi is back in her land, and Ruth is able to bring in some food for them, and she sees this day the blessings, the extra blessings and favor that has been placed upon Ruth. And so there is this hope now, especially when Ruth gives her the name of the man, which is Boaz. But notice here, this is speaking of the Gentiles. And it says in verse 8, beginning here, first speaking of Israel, it says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and glad him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. This is what Naomi is a believer, but she's gaining trust and confidence and hope. Things are starting to look up for her and Ruth. And it says in verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, hope brings in our life joy, peace, and things of that nature. Well, notice back now as we come back here, and we're coming back to the book of Ruth in chapter 2. And notice with me now as we come to verse 20. In verse 20, Ruth is said unto Naomi, that the man's name is Boaz, this man that has shown kindness and shown favor, because she's carrying back this nearly a bushel load of grain and also some food where she had had a meal. And so we find in verse 20, notice Naomi's words. It says in verse 20, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." In other words, Naomi's husband and family, and that she's lost and so forth. And then she says, notice the latter part of the verse, "And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Now, I mentioned that to you as we came through chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth and of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." And so we find here that Naomi finds out where that Ruth is now gleaning at in the fields, and this is a relative. And why was this important? Well, again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as you would come to chapter 3 and verse 9, well, let me see here, chapter 3, verse 9, and again, we're jumping way ahead here, and it says, "And he said," this is Boaz, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And then you'll notice with me in chapter 4 and in verse 4, and again, I'm taking two completely different contexts. One is speaking to Ruth as she had proposed to him. And again, we'll see that that was very well in order at this particular time. But in chapter 4 and verse 4, now he's in the presence of the elders and another kinsman of Naomi. And he said in verse 4, he said, "I thought to advertise," that is to inform you, "to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. Well, there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." And we're going to talk about that Mosaic law, that Jewish law and custom, when we get to this point, and we'll be spending some time on that, about how all of this develops. We find that one that was of near kin, as we just are seeing this expression here, that is a relative, one that would have the right to redeem a person's property that they had lost. In other words, the Mosaic law said that a kinsman had the right to redeem the forfeited inheritance of somebody that is in the family. And so this is how this story continues to develop as we get into chapter 3. We began to start seeing that process next Wednesday night. Now notice with me in verse 20 again. He says here in verse 20, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Verse 21. In verse 21, "And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." In other words, we find here again that Boaz is protecting her and also providing for her. Then in verse 22, he says in verse 22, "And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." Again, here's counsel given to Ruth by Naomi to stay in Boaz's field and do what he has said. Then in verse 23, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And this is the way that chapter 2 closes. And so she kept close by. She obeyed the counsel of her mother-in-law. She followed the leadership here of Boaz. And the barley harvest, I think, would have been probably in around March and April, and the wheat harvest would have been probably June and July. So she's got a period of time here that she's involved in this process. Now, what I want to do, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, and a title of the message this evening, Divine Provision. And notice with me in Psalms, I'm going to turn to Psalms 103 to begin with. And we find that clearly that God has provided for Naomi and Ruth even before they come back to Bethlehem. We see God providing for them now as they're obedient, following the Lord and obedient, God is providing for them. And that's the way God works. In Genesis chapter 1, from the creation, from the very beginning, God has supplied man's needs. So he is our provider. He's not only our Savior and our Creator and a Sustainer, but he is our provider. As we come to Genesis 9, after the flood, God told Noah, he told him, said, you're going to have things to eat. God's going to take care of you. Now, with Israel, and we find that Naomi, Ruth are part of Israel, we find that God provided for them as they obeyed him and walked in his will. He even provided for them when they didn't, when they were out of his will at times. But we find that all the way back in Genesis 45, verses 8 through 13, we find that Joseph had ended up in Egypt, sold into slavery. But as we look at that closely, we find that God used Joseph in Egypt. You remember the story of the famine, and God, and Joseph is over all the land of Egypt, just second in rank under the king and so forth. And what happens is that his brethren comes down, and Joseph reveals himself to them, and he brings his father, the whole family, down, which is the beginnings of the Jewish nation. And I think there were 70 of them, 70 or so, that went down into Egypt, and they grew into a large nation. But we find that God supplied Jacob's family again through Joseph's wisdom and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Well, notice, and I'm just going to go through a few verses. Some of these are very familiar to us in the Old and New Testament. But notice in Psalms 103, and these are just some verses showing how that God loves us and he supplies our need. Now, in the Old Testament, we find that God, when God even brought Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, he gave them water, he gave them manna, he gave them quail. You can read about this in 1 Corinthians 10, the first 7-8 verses. You can read about it in Exodus 16. I think the big majority of the chapters dealing with the manna. Then Deuteronomy 8, also we see God providing for them. We find here in Psalms 103 in verse 1, it says here beginning in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We see here, and throughout this chapter, we see very similar language. Notice with me in chapter 104. In chapter 104, and I'm coming down to about verse 10, and this is just showing God's provision, not only for us, but for all of his creation. beginning in verse 10, he says, "He sendeth the springs into the valley, which run among the hills, and they give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth." Notice in verse 15, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." He goes on to mention, like in verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedar of Lebanon which he hath planted. And when the birds make their nest, and for the stork and the fir trees are her house, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. In other words, we find here, even in verse 19 through 24, that he appointed the moon and the seasons and the sun and all the rotation of these things, again, is for our good. We read also, as we come to Psalms 105, and I'll just point this out, in Psalms 105, he begins by giving thanks unto the Lord, but then he mentions his covenant as you would come down to verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, and verse 11, "Saying unto thee, will I give thee the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance," and throughout this chapter, he provides all that they need. We find again in Psalms 106, I'm not going to read this, but he gives the history of Israel from the time they were in Egypt and came out of Egypt and in the wilderness and in the land of Canaan. And he closes with his covenant and how that he had blessed them. Notice as we back up to Psalms chapter 78. Notice in Psalms chapter 78, I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. He says here in verse 12, he said, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, and in the land of Egypt and the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clayed the rocks in the wilderness, gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" God can clearly furnish a table in the wilderness, and he did furnish it. But he said in verse 20, "Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for the people?" And of course, we know that he did that. In verse 24, it says, "And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full." See, we don't eat devil's food, do we? We eat angels' food. Notice with me in Psalms 23. In Psalms chapter 23, very familiar psalm, we find in the very beginning, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." He said, "I shall not want." In other words, "I shall not lack." And notice all the blessings in this chapter, but verse 5, notice he said in verse 5, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." God's blessings, God's provisions for his people. And again, as we're coming through the book of Ruth, we're seeing that. We're seeing God provided even when they was in a foreign land. But we see now God's blessings coming upon Ruth and Naomi. And it's just going to get better and better. As one says, it's going to get gooder and gooder as you go through the book. Notice in Psalms 37. in Psalms chapter 37. All through the scripture, we see that God has provided for his people. We see that with Elijah, Elisha. We see that with the children of Israel. We see this all through the scripture. We find here in Psalms 37, the first 8 verses is talking about fretting not and trusting, verse 3, in the Lord. Verse 4, delighting in the Lord. Verse 5, committing ourselves to the ways of the Lord. Verse 7, resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him and fretting not. But notice in verse 25, this is David. And he said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So again, and again, as God provided for Naomi and Ruth, I mean, the abundance that he will give them, we find that God does that for his people. We find this again in Psalms 34:10, Psalms chapter 81 and in verse 10, and Psalms 84 and verse 11. Now let's go to the New Testament and notice just a few passages here in the New Testament. I'm turning to Matthew chapter 6. Again, very familiar passages to those of you in this church. I don't know about other churches. But notice in Matthew chapter 6, now the Lord has been speaking here. This is the Sermon on the Mount, his first recorded sermon and teachings. And he's been teaching on the fact that man cannot serve two masters in verse 24. And then he begins to bring a summary in verse 25 through 34, and he speaks of the fowls of the air, and the lilies of the field, and the grass of the field, how that God takes care of those. And then he says in verse 32, he said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things are the things, the material things that we need in life, the clothing and the food and the drink and things of that nature. So as we follow him, we're obedient to him, following his word, he has promised that he would supply all these things for us. Again, in chapter 7, same setting of the same sermon. In chapter 7, it says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? And in verse 11, it said, if ye then being evil, in other words, evil by nature, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So again, this is asking in faith. This is asking in obedience. We qualify this with many other verses in the Bible. You know, we would qualify the prayer here and seeking the Lord. We would qualify that with John chapter 14, John 15, 1 John chapter 5, where the Lord says that if we love him, keep his commandments. If we pray according to his will, he answers all of those prayers. Also, we see in Matthew chapter 21, notice here, in Matthew chapter 21, in Matthew chapter 21, coming down to about verse 18, it says, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And he says, and presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And verse 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Again, we qualify that. I hate to have to say that every time. I shouldn't have to say it in this church. I hate to have to say every time when we read verses like Matthew 6, seek ye the Lord's first and his kingdom and all these things. We know that a man's got to be obedient and work, you know, so I don't have to say that every time. And we shouldn't have to say that every time when we talk about prayer. But we do know that when we, you know, a lot of people think, well, I just pray, I live like the devil, you know, or I can do this or do that or be rebellious and pray and God's going to answer my prayer. No way. No way. These prayers, we qualify that by obedience to God. And also the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. This is what we're talking about with Ruth and Naomi and God's provision for them. But these provisions are also for you and I. And so now notice with me, as we turn back, let me turn back to chapter 14, in chapter 14 of the book of Matthew. I'm going to read here in one other place and we'll close. But notice in Matthew chapter 14, and I'm coming down to verse 13. It says, and when Jesus heard of it, he parted thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give you them to eat. They said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. We need to read this a little bit beyond that it's just a Bible story. This is a real situation that happened, and the Lord was showing his disciples that he can provide not only for them, but he can provide for 5,000 plus in one meal with just a very small amount, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is a real situation and circumstance. It's not just the story that we teach our children. It's something to strengthen our faith. One other passage, and we'll close, and that'll be in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4. Now again, next week Ruth will start getting into the process of the kinsman redeemer and see how that develops. Again, the customs and the law that was for the nation of Israel and their economy at that time. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, I hate to just read one verse out of this context here, but I'm coming down to verse 19. And by the way, the verse I'm going to read in verse 19 has to be qualified as well. When we read this and this letter written to the church at Philippi, the church at Philippi was a very faithful church. And so the apostle, God through the apostle, makes this statement. Now this can apply to us if we are following God's will. Notice in verse 19, it's a wonderful verse, and it says this. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And there's hundreds of other verses that show us clearly that God will provide for his people as they follow him and are obedient unto him. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight your blessings upon the remaining of a service. Lord, every song that we sing, for thy divine leadership. And Lord, as we kneel here tonight around the altar, that just your will to be done. And Lord, that every need that would be met, we ask now, Lord, for thy blessings of the remaining of this service, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.